I want to thank our church for the opportunity to make this presentation. It's very gratifying to offer personal work in the service of our community. My co-presenter is Braden Young. He's well known to most of you. Braden's career as a collaborative pianist began here in this church when he was still a teenager wearing red running shoes. He is now recognized as such and with distinction by the University of Toronto. We wish Braden well as he launches a professional career here in Victoria. Braden and I are attempting an open and unscripted collaboration between a reader and a pianist. This is risky business. My reading and Braden's playing are largely improvised, a kind of jazz with one additional degree of freedom. Ours will be an impromptu conversation, totally in the spirit of the dialogue by Erica Hewitt. I thank Braden profoundly for his musical skill and for his willingness to give this crazy idea a try. We also wish to thank Worship Associate Liz Graham for her creative suggestions and her organizing skills. Last month, I celebrated a very large birthday. From here on in, it's put another log in the fire, but don't look at the woodpile. This is a visceral confirmation of what I know intellectually. Everything is in a state of becoming. Nothing is permanent. What is not waxing is waning. I am also mindful of the familiar saying extracted from the poem Generation to Generation by Antoine Saint-Exupéry. We live not by things, but by the meaning of things. These two mantras together reflect the fourth of our seven Unitarian principles, the search for truth and meaning. In my experience, we stumble across truth and meaning more often than we actively search for it. It's the surprise of tripping over what appears to be truth and meaning that energizes my poems. If I seem unduly focused on perceived truth and meaning, I must admit that one can live a good and useful life without being overly concerned about truth and meaning, as long as one observes a form of good behavior 101, as outlined for us in the remaining six of our seven principles. Good behavior 101 is a guide to living together harmoniously in the world of things. Investing energy in the search for truth and meaning, which ends often as not in challenging questions, opens us to uncertainty as we struggle to understand the world around us and to understand ourselves. That is why Unitarian Universalism, embraced fully, is a difficult faith. Socrates claimed that the unexamined life is not worth living. I find that harsh and would say instead that the unexamined life may be incomplete. Holding to good behavior 101, while accepting the uncertainty that results from a struggle to elucidate truth and meaning, these are worthy goals for a good, useful, and complete life, one that admits possibility and avoids complacency. Art, that is to say shared insight, art that matters, comes out of this integration and can be as simple and profound as the dialogue of shared thought and feeling described in the reading we heard moments ago. In this sense, we can all strive to be artists. Art that matters is not a market-driven commodity. It is of its time, unfinished, ultimately perishable. So, make it as you are able, share it, let it go. Beautiful blue, spinning through a night of stars, bathed in light that is the source of life, constantly becoming. The past is locked in your bones, where we can read the warnings in the hills, though the future is screened from view and will be what it will be. Permutations trailing to cold nothing, or perhaps rebirth. Either way. And we who are of you, born of light and water, are changing too. We have strewn our triumphs and our terrors on your surface and your deeps. They are part of your becoming, as convulsions of your changes strike and change us. So be it. Do we dream that we can choose between fading as we wrangle in the smoking trash for scraps, or joining voices, singing our time into the pulsing stars? Oh, beautiful, how beautiful, most beautiful blue. What precious scale or modulation could lead us from the key of grief to key of peace? There are no new notes. These stepping stones all have names. We dance our tunes upon them in our mayfly time above the water. I am singing because long silence is complicity with darkness. I am singing because I hear you singing too. Listening, we urge our thin voices to the vibrancy of harmony and dissonance. Committed, we can reconcile both grief and joy as notes in a far richer chord that lasts one breath but is not lost. They're loving it, I say to Earl, he pounding the keys and me reefing the squeeze box like I'm wrestling down a bear. The glow from the dancers lights our faces, sets the band aflame. The groove locks in, band and dancers one. A holy moment when the stars pour love and the fiddles cry, life, life, life. When the dance is done, we sated lovers leave, knowing in the nights to come we'll wake tumescent smiling. But where is the music of Monday? The players struggle with the score, bicker all morning on the placement of a note, fiddle still in cases, dancers shiver in the square. Toss the score, turn your faces to the sky, play whatever warms your cold, cold hearts. Lives depend on it. Red shirt and purple pants, they dance the blues. Intent upon each other and the song. Late sun through trees dapples the grass where the breeze writes its random music for its pleasure. Crawling baby arches, head upside down, peers backwards through his legs. Mother smiles, we are pleased. Red shirt and purple plants play dancing shoes and keep their time to soulful blues. Call and response, Wind buffets, sun splashes, scatter and regroup. Baby invents, people laugh. Singer lays down the twisted line. Guitar riffs a bent comment. A graceful summer evening spent while red shirt moves with attitude and stops, creates the space into which purple pants twirls in compliment. It's perfect, this dance, these blues. The road to enlightenment is not paved, and good intentions melted on the road to hell. That's why this world is so darn cluttered with nasty types who vent their mean frustrations, denied apprenticeships below. And if that weren't bad enough, there's all these bodies, wordless, propped on pillows, staring at candles like three-day bakers struggling to bring forth. The other night, I dreamed both routes were open. Asbestos asphalt and fresh zambonied ice. Heck, there were free rollerblades and skates at the neon-lighted portals, and folks were whizzing off in both directions. Soon, there was just me, alone here on Innisfree, with my bean patch and my honeybees, and the trout in the lake, and no one tugging at my soul. So I poured myself a cool one, and was settling back to watch the puffy clouds perambulating through the blue, when disappointed skaters burst into the clearing, chucking the rollerblades and skates into the nearest bushes and the lake, having learned that the Galdern roads were circular. And I was disappointed too, but glad in the end to have the company. So here we are again, our dreams unraveling. I never was that much for traveling. My friend Earl has a young protege called Josh, Black Kid. Josh is ebullient, full of ideas and pronouncements. One day he says to Earl, "Know what I want to be when I grow up?" "No," says Earl, "tell me." "I want to be the first black president of China." Well, there had to be a poem in there. The kid says to me, with complete conviction, what he plans to be when he grows up. He plans to be selected as the first black president of China. The kid don't say a lot. So when he makes a statement, I know he's thinking hard, and it's my turn to figure out what that could mean. We know there's schemers somewhere. Ambitions big as countries, eyes cold as daggers, and fatty sucking lips. But if folks knew what's in that small boy's mind, they'd go for him for sure, 'cause he'd declare in proper Chinese style, "Take day off, go to beach." And folks would frolic in the water, share their ice cream, sit together and watch the sun set rosy. Lovers would find each other dreaming of birthdays. And next morning, tasks resumed and light of heart, our old rock keeps spinning off in space, while the first black president of China smiles benignly on its precious load of life, sweet life. Through the kitchen window, a fall of sunlight pools across the patterned carpet, where the cat, alert to all that changes, sprawls among the radiant woven roses. Shepherds, magi, we are told, followed light, but hesitated at its edges, not understanding what it could mean to step forward from the shadows. The old cat, enlightened fully, purrs a while, then sleeps. I will let my line down into the water, not seeing or sensing, but feeling. Waiting until the moon and tide have gathered the sea to fullness, then if we are worthy, a messenger in the form of a silver fish will slash and flash its meaning, and my racing heart and trembling hands, my only guides to understanding, will once more implore a silted mind to let the sea sluice in, to wash it free to drift in cool, salt dreams. Drifting. The wind fell away, leaving the sails slack and useless. Oh, how I long to hear chuckle of the bow wave, feel Zephyr's pulse on helm. But ripples gel to glass, lulled by the warm October days, we let her drift, and I leaned back, allowed the sun to soothe my disappointment. Moon tides pulled and twirled the boat, sun and moon together, calling to the joy within the unexpected still. There, in a notch between blue islands, Baker's icy fang showed clear, promising winter and renewal of catastrophe. I read somewhere that if you could tease apart the coils of code embedded in a single cell, that strand would stretch a zillion miles. CGU, CGC, CGA, CGG, AGA. A veritable Bible with its discursive stories of the ancients and the meandering narrative that leads to a creature equipped to glimpse the face of God, but willful enough to cut loose from the anchoring questions. These rocks on which we stand today are themselves replete with stories from the start of time for those who care to read. We gaze into the wind and sea, where a myriad of elegant assemblages pursue the slow and graceful dance of long elaboration, in which every participant is honored in the fullness of its time. As once we were, and pray might be again. The word enough comes repeatedly to mind, like a frond of kelp revealed and hidden by the passing waves. Sometimes a question, sometimes reproach, sometimes an exaltation. Two people, not yet old, but no longer young, stand on the rocks in their wind-stirred wedding clothes. They have passed this way before, known disappointment, loss. They're resolved to love each other as they find themselves today, tomorrow, breathing, scuffed, hopeful. Brings us close to tears. We feel the presence of a music climbing to a sweet resolving chord. Enough. Our good friend Jim Bull was very ill, struggling for life, in fact. We were out in our little sailboat with friends enjoying the summer evening. We had a bottle of wine, a bottle that Jim had left behind on his last visit. From my glass, I poured a little wine into the sea. People asked me, "What am I doing?" "It's an offering," I said. "It's an offering for Jim." That night we learned that Jim had lost the battle. He had died, and I wrote this poem. From my glass, I pour some wine into the sea. Wine from the earth and sun, that with time, skill, and other life, reveals the spirit dwelling in all things. The sea from which our elements are drawn waits for their return over and over again. I do this to acknowledge my acceptance of all that life has brought and will bring to us, sentient fragments of that greatness we are honored to perceive. One Sunday, as we were heading home from church, it was threatening rain. As we drove alongside Pat Bay, we could see purple clouds over Mount Tuam. The sun was shining from the southwest, and the light struck some soaring gulls that we could see against the dark clouds. I could believe they were writing something on the clouds, maybe a blessing because they were so beautiful. I was reminded later, and looked it up, of the Bible story of Balthazar's feast, where the king of Babylon and his court witness a disembodied hand writing a cryptic message in Hebrew on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, uparsin. Which was translated by Daniel to mean, "You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting." Blessing or warning? Who can tell? Clouds prowl the hilltops. They are the colors of bruises. Golden light finds the whiteness of three soaring gulls, whose circlings trace a script upon the clouds. Mene, mene, or peace, my friend. Though I can't tell, I apprehend, there will be beauty at the end.